unknown.
Mystery.
Space.
Science!
Have fun.
Adventure.
Suspense.
Fantasy.
Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror.
Welcome to journey number 27 of the Journey Into podcast, featuring The King of Rabbits and Moon Lake by U.G. Foster. I am your guide on this journey, Marshall Latham, coming to you from base camp in Turner, Oregon. I must correct myself once again. I got a bit ahead of myself by saying that I would be running David Barkirtley's story for this journey. I ran into some technical issues and some real-life issues, and so I must delay that for a bit longer. But never fear, I have a fine tale to share with you today. You know, I always meant this podcast to be for all ages, and I think that's still the case. But I have to admit that the journeys I've made over the last 6 months have turned out a bit darker, or shall I say, less light than I originally anticipated. I think this story runs right about the middle. Today's tale is an adaptation of a story from the Panchatantra, a classic Indian collection of children's tales. Indian tales, as in from India. It too contains both a light, airy feel of a folk tale, but also contains some heavier elements. It was written by U.G. Foster, a very talented and versatile writer of science fiction, fantasy, horror, and children's lit. U.G. received 2009 Nebula Award for Best Novelette, and was named the 2009 Author of the Year by Bards and Sages. Her short story collection, Returning My Sister's Face, and other Far Eastern tales of whimsy and malice, was published by Noralana Books, and can be found at her website at ugfoster.com. Her works have appeared in Realms of Fantasy, Interzone, Fantasy Magazine, Apex Magazine, Cricket, and Orson Scott Card's Intergalactic Medicine Show, just to name a few. The story is read to us today by Rajan Khanna. Rajan is himself a writer, and sometimes corporate wage slave, who spends much of his time dreaming of imaginary things. Rajan is a graduate of the 2008 Clarion West Writers Workshop, and a member of the New York-based writing group, Altered Fluid. His fiction has appeared, or is forthcoming, in Shimmer Magazine, GUD, and The Way of the Wizard, among others, and has received honorable mention in the year's Best Fantasy and Horror, and the year's Best Science Fiction. He sometimes writes articles for Tor.com, and occasionally narrates podcasts for sites like Podcastle, Lightspeed, and Pseudopod, and now, lucky for us, Journey Into. The man also sings, so there is plenty of talent to go around. Now come with me, and let's journey into wisdom and leadership.
The King of Rabbits and Moon Lake by U.G. Foster. Kargosh, King of Rabbits, was a wise ruler. He knew where to find the most succulent roots for his people to eat, and with a twitch of his nose could smell trouble on the wind. When Gidar, knave of jackals, brought his tribe near, it was Kargosh's strong hind legs that drummed a warning to his people, sending them scurrying beneath Mother Earth. When hungry Babar Sher, the lion, lurked at their warren, waiting for a rabbit doe or a kit to stray, it was Kargosh who kept his family calm. He delighted them with stories of rabbit kind until Babar Sher lost patience and wandered away. So when a great drought loomed over the land, Kargosh worried. He fretted when the rivers and lakes turned from singing avenues full of fish and water birds to desolate wastes where only parched bones lay. And he frowned as the tender jungle grasses transformed from nourishing green morsels to dry brown stalks. Kargosh sent his fastest runners to the four corners of the land to look for water, and he waited. Finally, when the last dying shoots had become withered skeletons, and the younger rabbits complained of empty bellies, his runners returned. "No water to the south," the first one said. "None to the north," said the second. His third runner shook his head. "Only scorched wasteland to the west." "I found a beautiful lake in the jungle, many days' journey to the east," his fourth and final runner squealed. Kargosh's whiskers twitched with relief. He gathered all his family around him, his wives, brothers, and all their children. Hundreds of rabbits with their soft ears and dark liquid eyes all looked to him, their noses quivering with hope. "We must leave our home, for to remain would be death," Kargosh said. "We will go east, where there is plentiful water and food for all." Ragged cheers rose from thirsty throats, and they set off at once. The journey was hard, but Kargosh kept his people's spirits dancing with tales of their new home, the cool, dappled shadows and the plump figs and sweet cashew fruits they could nibble until their stomachs were near to bursting. It was a great testament to his love and care that every single rabbit, buck, doe, and kitten arrived safely at their new home. There was much rejoicing when they arrived, for this land was every bit as beautiful and rich as Kargosh had promised. Luscious roots lay just beneath the earth for any paw to harvest, and juicy berries bent heavy boughs to the ground for any mouth to pluck. Lotus petals waved in the dew-scented air, and best of all, a wide, round lake spread clean and clear, reassurance that they would not suffer further the ravages of the drought. Kargosh let his people play. He knew they must start digging tunnels and houses, but tomorrow was soon enough. He watched them splash in the wonderful lake and feast on the choicest delicacies, and his heart overflowed with a fierce love. He fell asleep to the musical laughter of baby rabbits and the murmur of his people's contented voices. He awakened to thunder like a hammer of Indra's chariot wheels barreling through the sky as the god hurled his celestial lightning bolts. The noise did not pause, but continued unabated. Kargosh leaped up and saw it was not a thunderstorm, but rather the pounding footfalls of Hathi, king of the elephants, and all his people rushing to the lake. "Hathi," he shouted, "slow your charge. My people are in your path and will be trampled beneath your feet." But Hathi was thirsty. He did not hear Kargosh's desperate plea, and his people crashed closer. Kargosh thrummed his hind legs as hard and as fast as he could over Mother Earth's back to warn his family of danger. Frantic does called to their young ones. Panicked bucks dashed every which way, looking for escape holes that had not been dug, and kittens stared with wide eyes, stricken with terror. Then Hathi and his people were there. Kargosh dashed as fast as his paws could take him, snatching up petrified kittens and lifting them to safety, and shouting directions to his people. Though he did his best to save them, he heard the cries of pain as his people were kicked, and worse, their silence as they were crushed underfoot. Tears streamed from his eyes as he gathered his people together in the safety of the jungle, far from where the elephants trumpeted and stomped. His people cried from their injuries, some limping, others bleeding, and all with shock and fear stark on their faces. "Hathi has declared war upon us," a buck shouted. "But why?" "Oh, my son is dead," a doe wailed, "killed beneath the feet of Hathi's tribe." Kargosh stood on his hind legs and waited for the voices to still. Grief weighed his spirit, heavier than mud, heavier than clay, heavier than rock. Fury burned his heart, hotter than noon, hotter than fire, hotter than the sun. But he knew that wisdom and a calm mind were needed now, so he let his tears quench the fire in his heart, although his grief was heavy indeed. "My people," he said, "I do not believe that Hathi intended this tragedy. He and his people thirsted, as we did from the drought. Their eagerness made them blind to the smaller folk who live at their feet." "What will we do?" a doe cried. "How can we make Hathi watch for us? Must we seek elsewhere for a home?" But Kargosh knew there was no other water. He pulled on his ears, thinking as hard as he could, and stared into the heavens, praying for inspiration. Day turned to evening, and Soma, the moon god, began his ascent into the sky. Suddenly, Kargosh knew what to do. "Wait here, my rabbits," he said, and bounded away to where Hathi and his tribe milled. Dodging between great round feet and ducking under massive swinging trunks, he ascended a high rock near Hathi, who rested in a stand of palm trees. "King Hathi!" Kargosh shouted as loudly as he could. "Hear me." The king of elephants turned to see a rabbit waving his paws in the air. "Who dares to address one as mighty as me?" He looked down his long nose at the tiny animal. "I am Kargosh, a lowly messenger from Soma, the divine moon," Kargosh replied. "As such, I call upon the courtesy due all messengers to voice my lord's declaration freely and without fear of reprisal."
"Soma has a message for me?" Hathi said, surprised. Immediately his demeanor changed. "Speak then. I am king of a noble people and not some ill-mannered rogue. You need fear no harm from me."
"Very well. Soma says he is displeased with you. You have brought your people to this sacred place and have soiled the holy waters. Furthermore, in your thoughtless haste, you have killed many rabbits, a people you surely must know he loves, as he carries a rabbit companion with him wherever he goes."
Hathi was shocked. "This is a holy place? I did not know."
He peered at the ground where some of Kargosh's people still lay, quiet as death.
"I did not realize we had run through a clan of rabbits. I must make reparation to Soma. Take me to him so I may beg forgiveness."
Kargosh nodded. "Follow me." He led Hathi back to the lake, and there they saw the full, round face of the moon reflected in the still waters. "Great Soma, I present to you His Majesty Hathi, King of Elephants." The moon gleamed white in the lake.
"I honor you, Great Soma," Hathi said.
He dipped his trunk in the water in salute. Immediately, ripples spread from where Hathi had disturbed the surface. The image of the moon flickered, skipping one way, then another.
"You have made Soma angrier," Kargosh said. "Look at how he fumes."
"What did I do?" Hathi exclaimed.
"You touched the holy water. It is not your right to take such liberties."
Hathi bowed his head. "I'm sorry. Please ask Soma to forgive me and my elephants. The drought made us wild with thirst. If we may not drink from the moon's lake, we will surely die."
Kargosh felt the Elephant King's sorrow and pain, for he knew it as his own. "I will intercede on your behalf," he said. "I am certain Soma will forgive you, but you must promise never again to hurt the rabbit tribe that is beloved by him."
Hathi raised his trunk in solemn vow. "If you will convince Soma to allow us to drink from his lake, I will make sure no rabbit is harmed by any of my people ever again."
So the pact was made. Hathi was true to his word and cautioned all his people to take care as they stepped so as not to even scuff a single rabbit's tail. And he apologized to every grieving and wounded rabbit, conveying his heartfelt sorrow and regret for the terrible mistake. In return, Kargosh led the elephants to the lake during the day when the moon gazed elsewhere, so Hathi and his people might drink and bathe in its cooling splendor. In time, the rains came. Hathi and his tribe moved away, not wishing to overstay their welcome. But Kargosh and his people built their homes next to Moon Lake and flourished.
I have read and listened to many of Yuji Foster's stories, and have developed into an outright fan. This story is only a sample. One of the things that amazes me is how diverse her writing is. No one story is quite like the other. She can delve into dark horror, flit into whimsical folk tales, or expand into thoughtful science fiction. So, for my recommendations this week, I will point out a couple other stories by Yuji. The first is Manny the Mailmobile, which aired in 2008 in the now-defunct Clone Pod podcast. This tells the story of a lonely mailmobile who rises to heroic action for his love. And then I will switch gears for a bit and direct you to her story, The Wish of the Demon Acromagic, which Norm Sherman recently produced on the Drabblecast. In this story, An extra-dimensional Lovecraftian demon takes the form of a little girl's teddy bear. But we learn that the real monster is a bit closer to home. I hope to bring more stories from UG. In fact, I've just made a deal that'll keep UG on the podcast forever. Okay. At least for one more short story. But it is quite a wonderful story. Stay tuned for that, and pray I don't alter the deal any further. And stay tuned for our next journey, when we return. If you have any comments on today's story, or would like to talk about the podcast in general, feel free to head over to our forums at journeyinto.freeforums.org, and also visit the podcast blog at journeyintopodcast.blogspot.com. And if you're feeling generous, go ahead and choose one of the donate options. You can donate once or set up a description to donate every month. It'll help me to continue to buy good stories for the podcast and to set things up a little better. So for now, remember not to trample any rabbit colonies, and journey on. The Journey Into podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, which means I want you to share it as much as you'd like, but please don't alter the audio or sell it for a profit. The theme music for this podcast is provided by Man in Space.